Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Scythe, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforscythe.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN.
Welcome, everyone, to The Schmooze. Bill Wilson filling in for Tim House this week. We welcome in our favorite rabbi, Rabbi Levi Mintz. Well, Rabbi, how are you doing today?
Thank God, Bill. Doing great. It's fantastic to be together with you and our listeners and looking forward to a great schmooze.
An absolutely beautiful weekend on tap weather-wise. It's a great weekend to get out and enjoy the new year, is it not?
I would say it's the first weekend since the Jewish New Year started that I think we can actually get out and about and enjoy, and just do something different. You know, the last month has been so jam-packed between, you know, Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, then Sukkot, then Simchas Torah. And of course, you know, this year, you know, the Jewish calendar is very much based on the moon cycle. So we're sort of, every year it always falls out on another day.
Mm-hmm.
So this year, basically all of the holidays were always at some point midweek.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, you know, you're basically like, you know, I mean, you have Saturday at Shabbat, and then you have like a day to relax, and then you went into like, you know, 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then a day to relax, and it was back to being the weekend.
Wow.
And, you know, back to Shabbat, and then you had a day to rest, and it was Yom Kippur. And you had, you know, so it was basically like nonstop. So this is the first weekend where it's like, it's just calm. It's calm. We're back to the regular day-to-day grind.
So as Tim would ask, is there diesel fuel in the air yet, Rabbi, in Forsyth County?
I'll tell you, there's definitely a lot more diesel fuel in the air in this county. Have you noticed the gas prices going down?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. They're sort of sneak upward though a little bit too, I'm noticing.
Okay, it's a little down, it's a little up. It depends where you go. But, so generally speaking, there's more diesel fuel. But in terms of diesel fuel on the Jewish Community Center here in Forsyth County.
Yeah.
So first of all, if you drive up and down Brannan Road, if you'll notice that they started putting up these black fences.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why those black fences are up is because they are redoing the entire Brannan Road and putting in sidewalks.
Wow.
On the entire Brannan Road in conjunction with the construction of the synagogue and the Jewish Community Center so that Brannan Road becomes a very walkable space.
Mm-hmm.
So that the Jewish community can be able to walk from the neighborhoods that are all around the synagogue campus, can be able to walk easily. And of course, you know, they're going to be making the roads, you know, because the road, Brannan Road, it's, you know, it's like the original pavement that they laid down. So here with redoing the road, it also will be a little bit expanded, and it'll be just a much more comfortable drive in and out of the synagogue campus. So that's fantastic. And the 26th of October is the due date for the county to finish up all of their back-end paperwork to give us the LDP. So God willing, by the 26th, we'll be able to share with everyone the good news that we received the LDP so that we can begin doing the groundwork. So God willing, that will happen very, very quickly. And we'll begin smelling the diesel fuel that we're paying for.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, as far as the new year going on, what's going on in the synagogue? Are there new classes going on? Are there new services?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, we just finished a fire high holiday season. I mean, the engagement was next level. The camaraderie, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the coming together. You can't even, I mean, I'm trying to put it into words, but you had to be there to see it, to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
See, you know, a lot of times you have, let's say, you know, holidays that are a day. Okay, so people come together and they go. And it's nice. But in the Jewish high holiday season, it's almost a month. When you're with your community for a month, what do you think happens at the end of that month? You become so reunited. and recommitted to each other. And there's just a real sense of love and unity, which is just a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful feeling of just feeling connected and interconnected with each other. And, you know, so the high holiday season finished, and there's really a feeling of being content. You know, I think that that's a wonderful definition for joy. You know, when people say, like, do you live a joyful life? I think being content is a great word to describe, you know, what joy should feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you feel at the end of this high holiday season. There's a real feeling of being content with life, content with ourselves. And because it was a journey, you know, deep introspection from Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, to Yom Kippur, making resolutions to be a better spouse, to be a better parent, to be a better community member, to be a better Jew, to be just be better.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, to end it off with the unity of Sukkot and the singing and the dancing and the joy of Simchas Torah. There's a real feeling of like, wow. Yes, it was a whirlwind, no doubt. But there's this just feeling of being content, which is incredible. And now we got to go back into the world. You know, the obviously we need to have a high holiday season of inspiration. But inspiration that just stays as inspiration, it's like air, it's like fluff, and it blows.
Mm-hmm.
And the objective is that all that inspiration gets anchored into our day-to-day life. And that's what we're really entering now. You know, this is the first full week of going back into life and taking that inspiration and now doing it and making the world, the physical world, a better and more elevated place. Because after all, that's the objective, right? The objective is to bring heaven down to earth. So during the high holiday season, there was tons of heaven, tons of inspiration, tons of holiness. But the point is that we now have to bring all of that into this world, bring it to earth and make the world, which is the primary focus of God. God's primary focus is this physical world, that we elevate this world and bring heaven down to earth. So this is where, you know, the rubber meets the road. And so, of course, at the synagogue, we now go back into just a very, very robust, engaged, many, many opportunities for the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, on a educational level, for the children, Judah is back and running, the Hebrew school that is the Jewish educational school for our children, which is totally awesome, is back up and running every single Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. till 11:40 a.m. Adult education is rolling with incredible opportunities. So the first opportunity is that we're about to start a five-week course for adults to learn how to read Hebrew. At the end of 5 weeks, you'll be able to read Hebrew, period. Meaning you could open up a prayer book in Hebrew, read it. You can open up a Torah in Hebrew, read it. That's amazing. And to be able to do it in 5 weeks, five Thursdays, I'm going to be actually giving that course, giving it many times, and it's incredible. So there's going to be that course. There's going to be another six-week course that's, of course, open to the community about God. Simple. Challenge, what does it mean to know God? Like, let's be honest, right? Everyone says, I believe in God, believe in God, believe in God. Okay, what does that mean? No one wants to believe in something. You want to know something.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it mean to know God? And of course, you know, Abraham brought monotheism to the world. And at Mount Sinai, the Jewish people became the ambassadors of monotheism to the world to be a light on to the nations. Okay, so what does it mean to know God? What does it mean to believe in God? What is God? Define it. Give me ideas that I can hold on to, not just something that I'm told to believe in that doesn't make sense to me. This is going to be, you know, one of the things that make Judaism so special, Bill, is that having open conversation and questioning and challenging is totally part of our tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to question God's existence in an intellectual way is the highest level of the Jewish experience.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to have the open question, say, okay, prove to me that I should know that there's a God. What are the answers? Intellectualize it. And we're going to be having a six-week course to know God offered to the entire community, which is going to be a huge, 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 huge hit. And we're looking forward that this is going to really bring people together from all different backgrounds, from all different faiths, because what unites, you know, all of us is that, you know, we have this belief in God. Yes, it may come in different ways and package itself in different ways, but we all believe in a higher power. So there's going to be a lot on the bone to really unite the community together in a beautiful conversation in a six-week course. In addition, we have the daily Talmud, which happens every single night at 8:15, where the community is invited to explore the great teachings of the Talmud that were written in the 4th century in Babylonia. And every single Monday, we have a Torah studies class for adults where we explore that week's Torah portion. Every single Tuesday, there's a women's get-together to discuss life and take inspiration from that week's Torah portion and apply it into their day-to-day life on Wednesdays. And Saturdays, we're back on with Kabbalah and Havdalah, a wonderful class for adults of studying Jewish mysticism, Jewish Kabbalah, a very spiritual, very elevated. So there's a lot on meat on the bone in terms of Jewish education for adults, for children. Of course, the Shabbat services, Friday night services, Saturday Shabbat day services are back on with beautiful weekly community luncheons and stuff for the teens. There's going to be November 4th. We have an incredible teen Shabbaton. All the Jewish teens of the Southeast are coming together for a great weekend celebrating Jewish pride. And then, of course, before you know it, Bill, it's going to be Hanukkah. Mm. And we're really gearing up for an incredible amount of Hanukkah celebrations for the men's club. I know the men's club is planning an Acts event, which is going to be a huge hit. The sisterhood are planning a great social for all the women. The sunshiners, meaning those that are 55 plus, are planning incredible socials for those in that age bracket. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. It's a new year. It's a new beginning. And, can I tell you a Yiddish expression, Bill?
Go ahead.
Here's the Yiddish expression. It goes like this. V'imen shteltzich avek, Shabbos bereshis, azoi geitzach agantzayar. That the way we set ourselves in the beginning of the year, meaning the first Torah portion, Bereshis, is like the beginning of the Torah. The way we set ourselves at the beginning of the year after the high holidays, that's the way the whole year ends up being.
Hmm.
You know, meaning after all the inspiration, day one, are you on the diet? Day one, are you going to the gym? Day one, are you doing what you said you would do? If you do it day one, you do it the next morning, your whole year is going to look that way.
Hmm.
If you slouch, the whole year will be a slouch year.
Wow.
So this week, that's the energy. The energy of this week is to actually anchor and materialize all the inspiration and to get going. Hit the road, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Get going and actualize all the inspiration, because the way we march forward this week, the first week, that sets the tone for the next year.
Real quickly,
yeah.
Rabbi, how do they get a hold of your congregation? And how, if they want to get involved with any of this, how do they find you?
Our congregation, Bill.
Yes.
Our congregation, jewishforsyth.org, jewishforsyth.org, jewishforsyth.org. Everything's there. It's very easy, extremely user-friendly. And, of course, we are a home that our doors are open to everyone from all backgrounds. With unconditional love and acceptance. So just go to jewishforsyth.org, find that perfect program, class, service, opportunity that really talks to you, talks to your soul, and RSVP. And, of course, looking forward to getting this new year started off with a bang.
Folks, we need to take a quick break, but when we get back, we're going to start right from the very beginning, and we'll explain that after this message from Judah.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Now, it's time to Ask the Rabbi.
Welcome back, folks, to the Schmooze. They're talking to Bill Wilson, the substitute co-host, and Rabbi Levi Mentz. And today's Ask the Rabbi, we're going to ask you about Genesis, Rabbi, because that's where it all begins, as the new year begins, with the story of creation. Why do we start with the story of creation when we examine the Torah?
It's a fantastic question, because you would think that we should start with the commandments, meaning the etymology of the word Torah comes from the word hora, which means lessons. So you would think that from the get-go, if this is a book of lessons, start teaching me lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And we should start maybe from, you know, the Mount Sinai experience. Start with the Ten Commandments. And then, at some point, give a little bit of the backstory. But the truth is, Bill, that you really can't start any of the conversations of life before you get past a critical question. And this is whether you're religious, if you're not religious, you believe in God, you don't believe in God, you're Jewish, you're not Jewish. This is a question that every single human being has at some point in their life needs to address. What's the question? The question is, am I a mistake or not? Is the world that I live in a mistake or not? Is this world that I live in just happenstance that rocks blasted against each other? There was an energy that exploded and a ripple effect, and all of a sudden it just came to be. There was this perfect mistake. And then the same thing would be for me, that I'm a perfect mistake, meaning that I am a human being that just was a product of one perfect mistake after another perfect mistake, and just a lot of happenstance. And then all of a sudden, there was a human being that started to think and have free choice and make decisions. And then I'm a product of one couple having children and another couple having children. And I'm also just a product of a perfect mistake. Or do I believe that this world was created with intention? This world was created with a purpose, that there is a designer behind this beautiful, beautiful plan of a beautiful world, and that the world was created with purpose, and it's significant, and it's created with reason, and every detail is orchestrated by a great architect. And the same thing is for me in my life, that I was created with purpose and with reason, and that every detail of my life is important and necessary, and that I'm also included in this architect's grand, massive plan. This is a question that every single person needs to ask themselves. And the answer to this question has huge ramifications. You see, if the world's a mistake and I'm a mistake, then ultimately, how much value is there truly to life? How much value is there truly to the decisions that I make in life? How much value is there to the time that I have in this world? If I believe that the world's a mistake and I'm a mistake, then what the heck? What does all of this add up to? But if I believe that the world is precise and created with thought and intention, and the same thing is for me, all of a sudden, every single moment of my life has a reason and has purpose. You know, there's some practical areas of life where the answer to this question has a major impact, right? Everyone in life has a journey. Everyone in life has ups and downs. Everyone in life has challenges. Okay, well, why is this negative experience happening to me? Or it doesn't even have to be negative, right? Why do I live where I live? Why do I have the job that I have? Why did I marry this person? Or why did I date this person for a bunch of years that it ended nowhere? Or why did I marry this person and then it ended in so much pain and such an ugly divorce that has been a source of so much tears for so many years? Right? You ask about all the things of life. Why? If I believe in creation, then all of a sudden, all of this has reason and it has purpose. And the person then wakes up in the morning, and instead of asking why, they begin asking how. What? What can I do? How can I do life today in a way that will materialize the reason that me and the world were created? You can't have a conversation of law and order. You can't have a conversation of how to make choices in life before you get past this big question. What, you're going to have a system of law with a civilization to have to make choices of right or wrong, a civilization to make choices of to kill or not to kill, to steal or not to steal. From the Torah's perspective, if I believe that everything's just a mistake, then everything is completely subjective to the moment, to the time, to the place. So how could you really tell civilization you can't kill? What's going to end up happening is that we'll decide some people could kill, some people can't kill. It just depends where you are on the big mistake. Some people's items you could steal, some people's items you can't steal. It's all a matter of where you are in this big, perfect mistake. But the only way that there can be true objectivity to morality and objectivity to ethics and to morals, that you can have a system of law that is equal for everyone, the only way you can have that is that if you believe that there was a creator and that this world was created with intent, this world is not a jungle, this world is not a mistake. Every single creation, from the human being till the mosquito, is created with the organizer's great focus, with the great focus of the great architect of the world. And now everything is purposeful, everything has a reason, and all of us then live by the architect's design. And the architect then says, I created the world. I know exactly how this world needs to function for it to be healthy and to run properly. I know exactly how humanity needs to function to live a meaningful, elevated, joyful life. Okay, here's the rules. Here's the laws. Here's the manual of how to maximize the experience of life. But you could only take this manual seriously for all people only if you get past the very first question. Is this world a mistake or is there a creator? And if I believe that there's a creator and that this world is with intention, the creator would never put life in this world with the ability to have free choice without giving it a manual in how to live. It would be the most cruel thing to do, to put human beings in a world that have the ability to make free choice and not show them how to live. What will end up happening? They'll walk into the wall of life over and over and over and over and over again. So after we get past that there's a creator and that there's reason and that there's purpose, then we can walk into the lessons and the ideas and the manual for life in how to live a truly meaningful and maximized life. Because let's be honest, Bill, we live life once. What should we do? Should we be like the very first people that walked the world, had no idea what to do? Or we can live every single day and every month and every year of our life. And what a blessing is it that we have a Torah. We have a manual. We have a guide to maximize life. This is truly a blessing. But it all begins with first acknowledging that there's an architect, that there's a force behind it all, and then I can take the architect's plan seriously.
A great message, as always, Rabbi. A great way to start a new year, and sadly, our first program of the new year is coming to an end, drawing to a close. Thank you for your wisdom and your company, sir. We look forward to talking with you again next week.
Looking forward, Bill, and let's never forget, L'chaim to life. Always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforscythe.org. Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.